The title of the message this morning is, Are You Living by Your Computer? I'm not talking about your laptop. I'm not talking about your Dell. Okay? I'm not talking about your Macintosh. I'm not talking about that. Okay? Most of you probably already know what I mean when I say, Are You Living by Your Computer? Let me put it to you this way. If you are living by your computer, then what I read to you out of the New Living Translation, it's going to get you excited if you are living by your computer. If you are not living by your computer, then what I read to you from the NLT is going to get you highly upset. Okay? So depending on how you responded today, that lets you know whether or not you're living by your computer. Okay? And we're going to get to that. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at the first Adam. And we're also going to look at the second Adam. But we're going to start with the first. Now, getting ahead of myself, Jesus is the second Adam. He came to make it available for us to live like the first Adam. Okay? Are you with me? Now, with that, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And I'm going to read the first part of verse 28. And God blessed them. This morning, I was trying to sleep. And this verse, this morning I'm trying to sleep, is 3:30, 4 o'clock. This verse went through my mind again and again and again. And God reminded me of something that he had shared with me about a year and a half ago. In the New Testament, you read words like, let this mind be in you, let. You read in the New Testament about, you know, let no vain thoughts go through your head. You read let. God told me, he said, you know, every time you let me, my anointing flows. Every time you let me, my anointing flows. So I got to thinking about here, God said, and let us make man. In other words, when God says, let us, he made a decision to let his anointing flow into us. You see that? This means yes. This means no. And this means die. Okay. Okay. You tell my son to spend some time with me. So the reason I mention this is because I really felt that he wanted me to give you an example of what he was talking about when he says, let us make man, let my anointing flow. So I wrote some things down early this morning. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In all of these lets, we have to make a decision. In all of them, we have to make a decision. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. This particular verse, what follows this verse? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is it saying? What you read in verse 3 is what Christ Jesus did. That was his mindset. Isn't that neat? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It says, let it rule. What is he telling us? You already have it available to you. You just have to let it rule. You see that? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So when God says, and let us make man, he was releasing his life and anointing into us. When we let God, it releases his anointing and life into us more and more and more. I had already gotten the message. This is added stuff. So you guys got this just for showing up. Bonus material. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us make man in our image. And we've talked about this before. Everything God is, man was supposed to be, with the exception of having deity. That's what that means. Everything God is, man was supposed to be. Let him have dominion. And see, the importance of let him have dominion is that God has now given us rulership, okay? But see, he can only work through us when we have the same life and nature that he has. He can't work through someone who has dominion and is lost. Get that in your head. That's why he wants people saved. The more people who are saved, the more dominion he has available to use. The more authority he has available to use. So God created man, verse 27, in his own image, in the image of God, created him male and female. And then the first part of verse 28, and God blessed them. Isn't that neat? Hold your finger here. This is also bonus material. Look at Numbers chapter 23 real quick. Numbers chapter 3. This is the record of Balaam. And remember how the Balak had come to Balaam because he wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel? Remember the story? In chapter 23, look at verse 19. And Balaam, this is Balaam talking. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Is that prophecy or what? Hath he not said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. The last five words, and I cannot reverse it. You see that? See, God has blessed you. It cannot be reversed. But Barry, I'm not walking in the blessing. And that's God's fault? No, it's not. God has blessed you, and it cannot be reversed. So if God has blessed you and you're not walking in it, then it behooves you to find out why you're not walking in it. Guess what? You're going to find out today why you're not walking in it. Isn't that neat? You're going to find out today why you're not walking in it, or maybe why you're walking in parts and not all, okay? Now look in Genesis chapter 2. So we see that God has said, I'm going to make man. I want him to be exactly like I am, okay? Now look at verse 7 of chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, okay? So God breathed into man, Adam, the breath of life. He breathed into Adam what he was, and Adam became a living soul. What does that tell me? It tells me a couple of things. Number one, the soul and mind are the same thing, okay? So Adam already had a mind, okay? He just wasn't functioning because he had no life. So what the makeup of Adam for his mind, how he thinks, what he thought about, it was already there. So the only thing God did was add his life to man. Because remember, man had a free will. So if man has a free will, then his mind needs to have the ability to think independently of God. He needs to be able to make choices, either to serve God or not serve God. Okay? Maggie, before she was born again, she had her mind. Her mind made up Maggie. That's who she was. That's how she operated. kneel. That's how he operated before he got born again. Then God simply adds his life and nature and the mind of Christ after that. Okay? So what we see here is the same principle. God is adding his mind, his thoughts, to a being that already had a mind. Do you see that? That's important. Look at verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found in him, found a helpmeet. Clean my glasses, my gosh. Now let me ask you something. You know, we talk about how God let Adam name all the animals and things like that. Do you think Adam made all of those decisions solely up here? Or was there something in here that helped him out? There was something in here that helped him out. God's life and nature. Okay? God's life and nature. Now, let's look at the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Look in Philippians chapter 2. And we were just there, but I want to read this to you. In Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. Stop. This is not really a question. It's an assumption that what he is saying, there really exist these things. And you'll see why. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Having consolation, which is encouragement, having comfort of love, fellowship, and bowels of mercy. Okay? Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem better themselves. Now, remember when Cain killed Abel, and God said, "Why have you killed your brother?" And what was Abel's response? "Am I my brother's keeper?" Remember, he said that. What does verse 3 just say? Let us esteem others better than ourselves. Folks, we are our brother's keepers. You see that? Look not every man on his own things. Why? Because you are your brother's keeper. But every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. What we just read, verses 1 through 4, let this mind be in you. Why? Because it was in Christ Jesus. It was in Christ Jesus. And you know what he did for us? Look at Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, look at verse 29. Well, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, Jesus answered the Pharisees well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Okay? Now notice what the guy asked Jesus. He says, what is the first commandment? So Jesus told him the first commandment. You see that, right? But look what Jesus added. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus, you know what he was telling this guy? He said, if you don't love your neighbor like you love God, you don't love God. Do you see that? Because, see, he didn't just leave it with love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength. He says, and the second, the first is not enough. And the second, you need to love your neighbors the exact same way. For those of us When 9/11 happened and the towers fell, were we loving bin Laden? Oh, no. We didn't love him. We wanted him dead. I was there. I wanted him. He attacked the United States. I wanted him dead. What does Jesus say? I want him saved. Barry wanted him dead. Jesus wanted him saved. Who had the problem? Barry had the problem. So you see what I'm saying? If you can't love your neighbor like you love God, like God loves your neighbor, then you need to spend some more time with your Heavenly Father. Because see, your heart is not like his. Your heart is not, if there is someone right now in your life that you're not happy with, that you're angry with, that if they walked off of the cliff and fell and died and you would not be unhappy, you got some issues to deal with. And you best deal with them quickly. Quickly. Jesus says you agree with thine adversary in the way and you do it quickly. You know why? Your soul is at risk. Not your adversaries. Your soul's at risk. You see this? The first commandment, the second is like unto it. Now look at John chapter 4. We're looking at the first Adam, and now we're looking at the second Adam. In John chapter 4, look at verse 34. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In other words, I know what I would, you know, I could choose not to do what my Father wants me to do. I could choose. But I am making the decision that what's important to my Father is important to me. I'm making that decision. I am choosing. Okay? Notice I keep banging on my head because there's a reason. Look in John chapter 5. Look at verse 19. It says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Why? Because he's making that choice. Let that sink in. The Son can do nothing of himself because he's making that choice. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he seeth, for whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Son loveth the Father loveth the Son, and show him things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. So we see that everything that God wanted done, Jesus was willing to do it. Okay? So the relationship we see in the first two Adams, they could hear from God. They responded to God. They did what God wanted them to do until we get to Genesis chapter 3, and Adam decides that, hey, I can think for myself, I can do what I want to do, and now we are all dead. You like the summary? Okay. Now let's look at the relationship between the spirit and the soul or mind in the first and second Adams. The human spirit, the life of God, was dominant. Okay? Was dominant. Remember, Jesus said, whatever my Father wants to do, I will do it. The soul, the mind, took its cues from the spirit. The soul took its cues from the spirit. The soul was in sync with God's mind. The word soul, mind, same thing. So in the first Adam and in the second Adam, their minds were in sync with God's minds. Then look at D. This is the big one. For the first and second Adam, to their souls, in their way of thinking, to their minds, nothing was impossible. Nothing was impossible for the first Adam and the second Adam. You see that? Now, but Barry, we don't read anything in Scripture about Adam raising the dead. Well, you know, there was nothing but life back then, but that's okay. We don't read anything about Adam healing anybody. Well, everybody was whole. There was only life back then, so that's okay. But if Jesus is the second Adam and he did the things that he did, don't you think that the first Adam could have done the same thing if it was necessary? Okay? Because the whole point of Jesus' death and resurrection was to get us back to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Genesis chapter 1. Okay. Now, let's talk about being in between the Adams. Genesis chapter 3. Everything was going along just fine. God says, Adam, you don't eat of this tree Because in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. So Satan creeps into the garden. He has a conversation with Eve. And contrary to popular teaching, Adam was right there with her. Because when you read in Timothy chapter 2, it says the man was not deceived. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, God blames Adam. He doesn't blame Eve. He blames Adam. Because, see, he told Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you guard the garden. You keep it. Whatever don't need to be in the garden, you keep out. That's God told Adam that. He didn't tell Eve that. So Adam should have kept the serpent out. He didn't do that. So Adam made a decision that God gave me a free will. That means that I am free to accept or reject what God says. So when he rejected what God says, then life in between the atoms happened. Now let's look at a little bit about the life in between the atoms. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Are we having fun yet? I'm going to tell you what I always tell you. Some of this stuff may be, I already know this. That's fine. But see, it's not just enough to know the things that we know. We have to be able to teach faithful men also, who can then go teach other faithful men. Okay? That's why I give you notes whenever I have a chance to minister. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? Talking about the law of Moses. Notice what it says. The law was added. The law was added. So, ladies and gentlemen, what happened in the course of human history that required God adding the law? Sin. Because, see, without the law, without the whole system, and listen to what I'm saying, without this whole system of sacrifices, Satan could legally wipe us out because we had no recourse. That's why God set up the law. That's why we had all the sacrifices. Every time you saw that bull or that goat walk out into the wilderness, your sins went with it. That's what God told them. Your sins went with it. If your sins hadn't gone with it, then your sin would have eventually taken you out. That's why God did that. Okay? So, wherefore serveth the law? It was added to keep us alive until Christ could come and die on the cross. Okay? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Not going to get off too far, but we know when you read the scripture and keep it in context, the promise was not made to Abraham. The promise was made to Jesus. What does it say? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Okay? And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 9. It says, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for someone who has God's life and nature. Why? Look in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, and you'll see why. We're not going to go there. I'm going to depend on you to go look at Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Okay? I'm going to say it one more time so you make sure you get it. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Okay? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. Okay? So, what do we see here? We see here that the law was not made for those of us who have God's life and nature. Because, see, we already have a conscience on the inside of us that convicts us before we do anything wrong. So before we commit sin, we have a conscience on the inside of us that tells us that's wrong. But for many of us, we do it anyway. Go figure. God, our new nature on the inside of us telling us something is wrong, and we do it anyway. That's a message for another time. Now, after Adam sinned, we had death living in us. We had death living in us. That's what the sin nature was. We were dead men and women walking. Okay, we had death living in us. And so, because we had death living in us, that death wanted to do certain things that if we had allowed it to do it, would have caused us a lot of problems, like going to jail, like, you know, living in prison, or like being on death row. That death nature would have created all sorts of problems like that for us, okay, if we had allowed it to reign. So because we no longer had God's life in nature, our minds then took over. And see, God never designed our minds to lead us. He designed his spirit to lead us. He never designed this up here to be what governed how we live. But because we had a death nature, we had to make some decisions up here that if I feel like I want to do this, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to die. So that's why the mind took over. The mind then became the restraint. The mind is the one that says, no. Barry, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You have three children. You have a wife. You do that, then this is what could probably happen. Doom, doom, doom. So you rationalize your way to not doing things, okay? Not because you don't want to do them. You don't want the consequences. That's why you didn't do the things that you didn't do before you got born again. You didn't want the consequences. You wanted to do them, but you did not want to suffer the consequences. And so your mind then became your restraint. Your mind became your governor. Your mind became the thing that stopped you from listening to your dead spirit. Are you seeing this? Are you hearing me? Okay? Your mind stopped you from listening to your dead spirit and doing the things that your dead spirit wanted you to do. Okay? Going back to the notes, it's going crystal clear. The relationship between the spirit, the sin nature, and the soul between the atoms. The soul was dominant. The soul restrained the spirit. The soul operated independent of God. Why did it operate independent of God? It didn't have God's life and nature to depend on the inside. And then the soul saw impossibilities. Remember Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Master, we know you have to be from God. Because the things that we've seen you do, we had never seen stuff like that. We could never believe stuff like that could even be done. He was dead. He had a sin nature. That's why he couldn't understand, he couldn't see it, how Jesus could do that. There are a lot of folks walking around now who don't believe that. How did that happen? No, you really didn't have what you had. You just did that so that when the healer came, he could just pretend that he did that. You know that goes on. You ask Benny Hinn, he'll tell you. There are a lot of folks there who camp out at his meetings to make sure that they can find something that he's not really doing. Oral Roberts had to experience the same thing. People who didn't believe it because they saw impossibility. But see, we serve a God where there is nothing impossible to him. Okay? And if there's nothing impossible to the God that we serve, and we have his life and nature on the inside of us, is there anything impossible to us? No. Yes. No. Yes. I'm confused. No. Jeez. Okay. Number six. Your mind is your computer. Your mind is your computer. Okay? Now, we're going to read some scripture reference in a minute, but I want to help you see something. You know, we talk about faith a lot in this church. Faith comes by hearing, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. We talk a lot about that. That's all true. Okay? But we still have a mind up here. Okay? Now, if our mind is our computer, okay, we know that a computer can only give what's put into it. Okay? Now, how many of you are familiar with pop-up blockers on your computers? Okay? A pop-up blocker. Okay? It keeps something from getting in that you don't want in, right? Computers also have filters. And I'm not a computer expert, so anyone of you who knows more than I do, just jump in and just have at it. But a computer also has filters to keep certain things out that shouldn't be on the computer, okay? Or shouldn't be given access to your computer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your computer acts as a filter. It acts as a pop-up blocker. And so for all those years when you were in sin, you had a sin nature, it was a pop-up blocker. It stopped things from happening, or it stopped you from doing certain things. Okay? You see the picture I'm painting? You know what our problem is today? Our computer is still stopping the Spirit from doing what it wants to do, even though we don't have the same Spirit. You see that? Our computer is stopping this life of God on the inside of us from doing what it wants to do that's in alignment and harmony with our Heavenly Father. That's why we are wherever we are in our walk with God. It's because we are stopping our spirits. We are stopping our spirits. When Dave Robinson was here last year, okay, and he did the things that he did, I'm sure that there were some folks in the audience who were saying, I wish I could do that. You had already stopped it. Your mind has already said, no, I'm Barry, he's Dave Robinson, Barry can't do it, Dave Robinson can. Am I the only one who felt that way? No. I'm probably the only one who would admit it. Guys, I've gotten to the point in my life I have no shame. I'm about as transparent as you're going to get, okay? Now, we can have faith. We can build up our spirit man until he's busting at the seam. But when he sends thoughts to our minds that the mind of Christ starts feeding the mind of Barry, that this is what God wants you to do, and Barry says, no, I'm not going to do that one. What can God do? Okay? Let me give you an example. How many of you have heard of Orville Wright and his brother? Okay? Now, From what I can tell, both of them were Christian men, okay? Now, let me ask you something. Do you think for a minute that he came up with the idea that man could fly from this thing right here? No. It had to be something planted on the inside of him that he finally listened to that says it's possible. Once he decided that it was possible because that spirit on the inside told him, his mind went to work to figure it out. You see that? His mind, this computer, went to work to figure it out. God had already given him the idea. Okay? Who's the guy who invented the light bulb? Thomas Edison. Before Thomas Edison, no one even thought electricity could be harnessed in the way that he harnessed it. Okay? Let me ask you something. Do you think that he came up with the idea that was a possibility using this thing right here? God planted that in his spirit. He allowed it to rise above into his mind, and then he took his mind to figure out, listen, if he could see it, he said, I know this works. I don't know why I know it, but I know it works. Then he used this thing right here, his computer, to figure it out. To figure it out. He didn't use his computer to come up with it. He used his computer to figure it out. That's why God gave you your mind. So you can use to figure it out what he gives you. Okay? George Washington Carver. He took the peanut and he did, 600-something thing with the peanut? Okay? Let me ask you something. I'm getting redundant, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you think that idea came from here? No, that idea came from here. Why do I know that idea came from here? Look what happened. Look at all the blessings that resulted from it. Because we know the enemy of our souls don't bless us. The enemy of our souls don't bless us, folks. Okay? So God planted that idea on the inside. I can use the peanut to do this, this, and this. I wonder how that would work. I wonder what I would need to do. And see, as soon as you listen to God, he gives you a little bit more on how to make it work, to use this thing that he gave you up here. Okay? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Dead people don't produce anything. Dead people don't produce anything. So when you had a sin nature, when you did not have God's life in nature, you didn't produce anything. See, Satan doesn't produce anything. Satan counterfeits. Satan replicates. Satan diminishes the things of God. He doesn't produce anything. Okay? So the reason that you are not walking by more faith is your computer is rationalizing faith out of your life. The reason that you are not walking in more healing, your computer is rationalizing healing out of your life. If you are struggling to get bills paid, your computer is rationalizing faith out of your life. So anything that is happening in your life that is not according to God's will and plan, your computer is playing a role in your not having that. That's the only, because think about it, guys. If this mind is supposed to be in us that was in Christ Jesus, and then we know what Jesus did, and Scripture says we're to have the mind of Christ, right? So we know what he did. So if we're to have the mind of Christ, and we're supposed to do everything Jesus did, then the only thing that's hindering us from doing what he did is my head's hurt. I've been beating on it all message. Okay, let's wind this up. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? Now, was 1 Corinthians written to Christians or sinners? Christians. Okay. I ask that because of verse 14. For so long we have taught that verse 14 is talking about men who did not have an unregenerated spirit. Okay? I want you to keep it in the context, guys. Okay? Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. In order to not to receive something, You have to have access to it. Do you see that? A man who has a dead nature, does that man have access to the things of God? You see? Okay. Isn't this good? The natural man, the person, put it to you this way, who is living and operating by his computer, regardless of what his spirit man is telling him, does not receive the things of God. For they are foolishness unto him. No, I can't do that. Dave Robeson can, but I can't. I can't do that. Pastor can do that. I can't do that. What are we saying? That's foolishness to me. Do you see this? Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you are not at a place spiritually that you can discern these things. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Now do you see why I say this is not talking about a person who has a sin nature? Isn't it neat? But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For he who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ, even when we are acting like we don't. Because see, when you got born again, the mind of Christ was given to you. Now, you have to do the things in your life in order for the mind of Christ to rise up so you can start using it. Okay? See, part of the reason many of us are not willing to do what it takes to be able to use the mind of Christ. It takes sacrifice. It takes turning the TV off. For me, it takes turning the PlayStation off. I admit it. It takes turning the PlayStation off. Okay, or the Xbox, or whatever the case may be. Or not talking much on the phone to your girls or to your boys. You know, it takes a sacrifice to spend time with your Heavenly Father. Okay? Now look at verse 1, chapter 3. Notice the word "and." He is continuing this thought. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, and even as unto babes. Why? You're not spiritually mature. You're walking as a natural man. You're not paying attention to your spirit. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal. But whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? Okay? You're not walking according to that new nature that's on the inside of you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is a verse we're very familiar with. And I'm going to take a little license on some of this, okay? Still scripturally accurate, but a little license. Verse 3 of chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, okay? So even though we may see a person standing in front of us who's giving all sorts of grief, the real issue is in the realm of the spirit. That's what he's telling us. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not our computer. We can't rationalize it. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God. Mighty through God. If you want to have any hope of defeating your enemy in this life, it's going to be through God. Look at verse 5. Casting down your computer and every bit of information your computer wants to spit out. Because whatever your computer is spitting out, it's against the knowledge of God. I'm sure they're going to take a few liberties with this. Okay? And you bring into captivity, you reboot your computer, you redesign your computer, you take some junk out of it, you put some new junk, take some junk out, put new stuff into your computer, okay? And when you do that, you'll be bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see that? So you have to clean out your hard drive. See, I'm starting to sound smarter than I really am, okay? You got to clean up your hard drive so that it can be clean, nothing on it, and then God can put his thoughts and his ideas on your hard drive. Okay? Now, You have to reprogram. I put calculator should be your computer. How do we reprogram our computer? Romans chapter 12, very familiar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Turn TV off, stop playing the PlayStation, stop paying all that, okay? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't think the way the world thinks. Instead, be transformed to my way of thinking. Okay? And when you are conformed to my way of thinking, then you will prove what is that acceptable, what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once you are transformed to my way of thinking. Once you are transformed to my way of thinking. Look in, we just looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We are transforming our computer. Chapter 4, verse 8. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And we know Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3 or verse 7, I have given them thy word is truth. I think maybe 17, verse 3, John chapter 17, verse 3. So whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there is, if there be any praise, there is, think on these things. That is how you reprogram your computer. You change the input. You change the input. Once you change the input, then what also changes? The output. So once you change how your computer thinks, how your computer responds to the spirit on the inside, then what the spirit on the inside then, what's going to happen is your computer is going to start to reflect more and more of that life and nature that God has put on the inside. And that's what we all want. That's what we all want. Well, I can only speak for Barry. Okay? Because see, you know all those stories we read in the New Testament about Peter walking and his shadow touch someone, they get healed? I want that. We read these stories about, you know, people taking cloths and having Paul touch them, and then they take those cloths back to their hometowns and they put them on people and devil spirits immediately jump out of their lives, healing occur. I want that. I want that. And the only way I am going to see that happen is when my computer is in alignment and harmony with God's heart. When it's in alignment and harmony with God's life and nature, then I will see that. It's not because I'm trying to glorify Barry. It's not about that. But I want souls into the heaven. And we know that Jesus, when he preached and he taught, he followed it up with doing the miracles. He did the works. He did the deeds. I'm not doing enough of those deeds. I want to do that because that's my responsibility. That's what he called me to do. It's not an ego trip. It's not about bringing noteworthiness to Barry. It's about bringing souls into the kingdom. That's what it's about. So our goal is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let's look at that and then we'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? So as Barry stands in front of this mirror, and as Barry is doing the things that's going to build spiritual maturity in Barry, Barry is going to start looking more and more like this glory, this image of Jesus. And Barry's going to go from glory to glory. Simply put, the more of God's life and nature is going to overtake my flesh, my mind. And I'm going to start looking more and more like Jesus. That's what that simply means. So what can we learn from this message? When we had a sin nature, our minds were programmed to restrain it. When we received God's life nature, our minds continued its restraining program. And see, for some of us, our minds are still restraining their spirit on the inside. Okay? And see, the interesting thing about a computer, as you give it different information, it starts doing things differently. So there could be parts of your life that your computer has allowed the Spirit of God to rise up and do some things, and so you're seeing the fruits of that. But then there are other areas in your life where your computer is hindering God's Spirit, and so you're not seeing the results of that. So it's not an all or nothing. It's a growing process. As we put on the mind of Christ, we remove the restraints piece by piece. We're changed from glory to glory. Okay? And then finally, once the restraints are removed, we will see John 14:12 manifest in our lives. And John 14:12 simply says, "The things that I do, ye shall do also, and greater things than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father." Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, let today be the first day that you start to reprogram your computer, because you want your computer to allow that life that's on the inside of you to shine forth. And the only way that's going to happen is you start to reprogram. You start feeding your computer different information, and that information is God's Word. So once you do that, once you start that, then you're going to see God's life and nature really, really begin to flow.